Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. BirdwatchersGeneralStore.com.
And by Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty, their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at VortexOptics.com.
And by Broom, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at Broom.com.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to our show, number 985. And to all the moms in the Talkin' Birds audience listening live, happy Mother's Day. Congrats to all who took part in the Global Big Day, Saturday, May 11th. We'll be looking for totals soon and see how they compare with last May, when birders ID'd 7,746 bird species, counting more than 3 million birds, while submitting over 72,000 photographs. Meanwhile, as we do our show live here on the 12th of May, we're in peak migration season over much of the country. And if you'd like to see how many birds may be flying over your house tonight, check out Birdcast, B-I-R-D-C-A-S-T. A simple Google search will take you to Birdcast in their amazing live bird migration maps. By the way, for the night of May 12th, Birdcast predicts that 347 million birds will be in migratory flight over the U.S. tonight. Well, not to brag, but you know, we pretty much never make mistakes around here. Okay. Okay, so last week we had an audio postcard from Wink Weinberg down in Georgia, and we said that it was from Dauphin Island, Georgia. Well, Dauphin Island is in Alabama, not Georgia, as several listeners reminded us. All right, let's see if we can get it right on today's audio postcard. A little musica italiana, please.
Domani, forget domani.
Yes, let's forget domani and focus on normani. That's the source of this audio postcard from Jeremy Nault in Italy. Hello, Jeremy.
Hi, Ray and fellow bird listeners. This is Jeremy from southern Italy in a small town called San Vito del Normani. And in the background, you should be able to hear some zitting casticolas and some white wagtails that I've identified off of BirdNet. And they've been singing to us in the background here while we're working on the antennas and the telescopes here at the observatory. And it's been a really, really nice day down here to listen to these birds. And it looks like they're trying to build little nests in some of our antennas, so we got to make sure we buckle up those holes so they can't do that, because we don't want those nests falling out when the antennas move. It's great talking to you guys, and happy birding, everyone.
Happy birding to you, and thanks, Jeremy. And let's close it here.
Perché forse non verrà, perché forse non verrà.
By the way, Jeremy mentioned antennas in that postcard there. Well, he's in Italy as part of a mission to monitor the sun for electromagnetic emissions with optical and radio telescopes. He says there are some parts of the mission he can't tell us about, but he explains that when a solar flare occurs, his team measures the power of the flare and its location and magnetic configuration, and they calculate its speed as it traverses the sun's corona. This allows Earth-based systems and satellite operators, he tells us, to take action to protect space assets and mitigate communications interruptions here on Earth. How this all played out with the recent aurora that so many people saw, many parts of the country, no idea, but we'll have to ask Jeremy. Meanwhile, if you're in Italy or Indiana or any other place and looking at some birds, please consider sending us an audio postcard. Just record 30 seconds to a minute or so of your observations into your smartphone or other digital device, then send the file to Ray at TalkinBirds.com. That's Ray at TalkinBirds.com. That is the sound of the call and some of the work that gets done by our mystery bird. This is a preview of the mystery bird contest. We'll have that actual thing in a little while. We want to get you ready for it. Our mystery bird is a very small tree climber with brown streaked upperparts, white underparts, a white line over the eye, a sharply pointed downward curving bill, and a stiff woodpecker-like tail for climbing support. Our bird is found year-round in the northeastern and western states and nests over most of the U.S. and Canada. It feeds by spiraling up tree trunks in search of insects, gleaning, pecking, and lifting loose bits of bark to uncover its prey. That's our mystery bird. Beautiful prizes as usual, and a very special one from Brome Bird Care, the Mega 600-feeder with an extra-large tube that holds nearly 2.5 pounds of seed. It's easy to clean, it's chew-proof, and it includes the Brome seed ventilation system to keep the seed cool and dry. That's our second mistake. From our friends at Fresh Cut Paper, makers of beautiful life-sized pop-up floral bouquets that are wilt-proof and crafted to last a lifetime, we have a certificate for 5 Fresh Cut Paper bouquets. That's on our Mystery Bird contest coming along just a little bit later on in this morning's show. We'd like to give a plug today to some great birding festivals happening in late May and early June. There's the one we talked about last week, the Acadia Birding Festival in beautiful Southwest Harbor, Maine, May 30th through June 2nd. In the Midwest, May 31st to June 1st, it's the Kirtland's Warbler Festival in Roscommon, Michigan. And way far to the west, the Yakutak Tern Festival will be underway May 30th to June 2nd in Alaska. A click on the Get Involved tab at TalkinBirds.com will provide a link to all the details on these and other festivals around the U.S. Here's a royal salute to another Talkin' Birds ambassador helping to spread the word about birds and conservation, which is what we're trying to do on our show here. Jason from Walpole, New Hampshire. A couple of weeks ago, Jason won our Mystery Bird contest. And after he won the contest, he signed up as a Talkin' Birds ambassador. Thank you, Jason. We're working on growing our ambassador's family to a new milestone level of 875 members. And guess what? We're now only one ambassador short of that goal. So, dear Talkin' Birds listeners, please consider joining the family so that we can reach and surpass that goal. To become an ambassador, which means we'll send you a batch of Talkin' Birds info cards that you can hand out to friends at your convenience, just click on that Get Involved tab at TalkinBirds.com to see how to do it. As we say in Boston, it's wicked easy to do. Still to come on our show today, we'll get some advice on bringing birds onto our properties, no matter how much room we have, when we welcome the author of a great new book about bird-friendly gardening, Jen McGinnis. Also today, we'll have a Mother's Day edition of Let's Ask Mike, almost live from the archive, featuring Mrs. O'Connor's favorite son, Mike. And up next, a beautiful warbler that can fly thousands of miles while keeping its necklace firmly in place is today's featured feathered friend.
Is it a bad thing to be among the last to show up? And among the first to leave? Well, maybe, if you're an athlete trying to avoid practice, for example. But we won't hold it against today's featured feathered friend, the Canada Warbler, which has to fly 3,000 miles or more from its South American wintering territory to reach its breeding grounds across eastern and central Canada, out through the province of Alberta, and in the U.S. through northern New England and the upper Midwest, and then back again. The Canada Warbler is sometimes called the Necklace Warbler, thanks to the distinct black vertical marks across its chest, contrasting with its yellow throat and belly. It has steely gray upper parts, a bold eye ring, and white undertail coverts. Canada Warblers prefer damp woodlands with shrubby undergrowth, where they feed by hopping between branches and picking insects from understory plants, and also by fly-catching for insects in the air. The Canada warbler population has been declining steeply in recent years. Likely, it's thought, due to loss of forested wetlands, changes in forest management practices that reduce understory vegetation, and extensive browsing of the understory by white-tailed deer. In response to this decline, the Canada Warbler International Conservation Initiative was launched in 2013. The initiative has provided a platform for international collaboration and coordination and has led to the development of a full life cycle conservation action plan that is now making efforts to restore the bird's numbers. Our bird's common name in French is Paruline du Canada. Its scientific name is Cardellina canadensis. It's today's Talkin' Bird's featured feathered friend, the Canada warbler.
Want to say hello to birding friends Candy and Chris and Dawn and Bob. We looked for the Canada warbler on a walk the other day and didn't quite find it, but we won't give up. Welcome again to our show, number 985. Jen McGinnis is the author of a colorful and useful new book called Bird Friendly Gardening, and she joins us now to tell us a bit about it. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on today.
You are most welcome. So the subtitle, Guidance and Projects for Supporting Birds in Your Landscape, that gives a pretty clear indication of the book's focus. But who can best benefit from your book, Jen? Is it folks new to gardening, folks new to birding, or could more experienced folks get some guidance from the book?
Well, I was kind of hoping to attract all those audiences. I wanted to make a guide that would be easy for someone to pick up who, you know, might be new to gardening or might see birds when they go out birding and want to bring them in closer to their own property. So I was hoping to just appeal to everyone because it's so important to make habitat for birds and we all can do something to help.
So in the introduction, Jen, you offer some best practices or practices for bird-friendly gardening, from leaving brush piles for birds to hunt and hide in, to keeping cats indoors, to organic gardening, avoiding pesticides and herbicides. And I know that you're a big proponent of organic gardening. So tell us more about its benefits.
Sure. Well, definitely it benefits all the pollinators that come in. And that's actually how a lot of the wildlife coming into my garden started. I was growing vegetables and then I wanted to bring in more insects to help pollinate those vegetables. So I started focusing on the pollinators. And I noticed that when I started planting more of those native plants, that's when I began attracting the birds to the property. So basically, when you're doing organic gardening, you're not using pesticides of any kind. And that's great because the birds need all those insects to, you know, feed their young. No chemicals. You can do fertilizers, but they're, you know, the natural ones by adding compost and building up your soil.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of sort of customizing the book, asking about who it's for, it's also for people wherever you are, because you have this kind of broken down into regional areas, so that you might not want to plant sagebrush if you're in Vermont, for example, or maybe serviceberry in Arizona. Don't quote me on that. I'm trying to give an example here. But
sure. Yeah, that's a great point. It does involve the whole continental United States. And in most cases, you can, maybe fall in love with a plant that isn't native to your region. But you could go to your independent garden center and say, I love this sagebrush and I'd like something similar that grows in the same dimensions, offers the same qualities. And usually that garden center can help you in choosing something that's native to your region.
Okay, so a sagebrush alternate. And you have a QR code in there, too, for National Audubon's Native Plant Database, a great source because it's so fine-tuned right down to your zip code, right?
Yes, it's a fabulous resource, and I was really happy to be able to include that. And that really does make it foolproof. You could even go to that site, type in your zip code, and then get a whole list and bring that with you for shopping at the garden center.
Another great idea. You got all these other cool things, an illustrated overview of which birds eat what foods, reducing your lawn area. That sort of caught my eye because, just to drop a name here, Doug Callamy was on the show with us not long ago, the great entomologist. And I know you mentioned him several times, or at least a couple of times in your book, Doug Callamy, who advocates cutting that lawn back and putting all that natural stuff in there. So in addition, Jen, to the regional differences for bird-friendly plants, you talk about different-sized projects in the book, small, medium, large-scale habitats. I wonder if you could give us some idea of that, maybe some examples of different-sized projects.
Sure. So the small projects focus on areas that you may not have a lot of space, such as living in a condo area, or maybe you just have like a small balcony outside. So there's options for adding the native plants to containers. The medium-sized projects are when you envision a typical backyard that envelops that size. And then the large scale projects are if you have so much access to land and you really want to make it bird friendly, that involves projects for bringing in those trees and those shrubs that are attractive to the owls, to the warblers, the woodpeckers. So basically, based on what you have available, you can customize also. So if there is something in like a larger project that catches your eye, but you only have a medium-sized property, you could pick and choose and take a few items here and there and kind of create your own custom garden.
You have another feature in the book, birder spotlights or birder profiles, giving their experiences in gardening and birds. You have folks from New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Connecticut, and Colorado. And I'll drop another name here, Jamie Weiss. She was on the show when she was running the Habitat Hero program out in Colorado, the Audubon Rockies. Well, some of us in the radio world, Jen, have dual identities, and you have another name by which you're known as well, and that would be Frau Zinni. Tell us about her, if you would.
Sure. So I started garden blogging as Frau Zinni back in like around 2009. And that coincided with the time that I purchased my first home and started to systematically remove all the lawn from the front garden. I was focused on first carving in, little beds of plants, and then eventually they all started to connect. And now there's just a small strip of lawn right up against the road, which is just, for I just to say I have a little bit of lawn, but basically it's an entire habitat out front now. And the blog started to, document those parts of the garden, like how I was learning. I also have black walnut trees in the backyard. So that was a major learning curve. If anyone's familiar with those, they're very tricky to plant around because they emit juglone into their soil, which is, it kills off other plants. So there was a lot of learning and growing, which is always part of gardening. And over time, I started, wanting to interview other experts, and I brought them in as guest profiles on the site, too. So it really took on a world of its own.
Jen McGinnis is an organic gardener, host of the Frau Zinni Organic Gardening blog at frauzinni.com. That's Z-I-N-N-I-E. And she's the author of this marvelous new book, Bird Friendly Gardening: Guidance and Projects for Supporting Birds in Your Landscape. Jen, thanks for sharing your wisdom with us, and good luck with the book.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Up next, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
The flutter of a tail feather, the flash of a wing bar in mid-flight. You don't always have a lot of time to identify a bird in nature, let alone to appreciate its beauty. But with Vortex Optics, you'll have the power to bring every wild moment closer. When you choose Vortex, you're choosing to have a partner in the field as passionate about nature as you are. Whether you're spotting old friends on the backyard feeder or packing for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to add a few species to your life list, Vortex offers a full range of optics and optics accessories for every birder and every budget. And whether the birds are taking you to another state or another country, you're always covered by the Vortex VIP warranty, an unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. If you'd like to learn more, or if you need help choosing your next optic, give Vortex a call at 1-800-4-VORTEX or visit vortexoptics.com.
By the way, Jennifer McGinnis's book, Bird Friendly Gardening, is available pretty much wherever you buy books. Bird Friendly Gardening, Jen McGinnis. Our mystery bird, calling and working. A very small tree climber with brown streaked upper parts, white underparts, a white line over the eye, a sharply pointed downward curving bill, and a stiff woodpecker-like tail for climbing support. That's our bird. Prizes include from Brome Bird Care, that big, mega 600-feeder with an extra-large tube that holds nearly 2.5 pounds of seed. It's easy to clean and chew-proof, too. And from Fresh Cut Paper, 5 of those beautiful fresh-cut paper bouquets, wilt-proof and crafted to last a lifetime. Prizes on the Mystery Bird Contest. The number to call is 781-837-4900. I'll give the number again in a moment. Just a reminder to call it right now if you can, so we'll have time for our little contest here. Here's that number again, 781-837-4900. Up next, it's a special Let's Ask Mike for Mother's Day during our show here on the 12th of May. Let's Ask Mike, almost live from the archive in just 1 minute.
Welcome to a world where bird feeding is enjoyable for both you and your feathered friends. Introducing Squirrel Buster Bird Feeders by Brome. Our innovative feeders are designed to keep squirrels at bay, ensuring that your garden birds get their fair share. And the best part? We offer lifetime care for every feeder, making your purchase worry-free. Transform your garden into a bird paradise and keep it that way forever. Sorry, squirrels. It's just for the birds this time. Visit brome.com, B-R-O-M-E.com, to discover our full range of Squirrel Buster feeders and join the Brome family today. Brome, where birds come first and our commitment to you lasts a lifetime.
Down to Cape Cod, Orleans to be specific, down there on Route 6A, not far from the Rotary and the famous Birdwatchers General Store, operated by Mr. Mike O'Connor, who is with us on the phone right now, I believe, with a Mother's Day edition of Let's Ask Mike Live. Good morning, Mike.
About that. A Mother's Day edition, yeah.
Why not is right, because you know why? Because it's Mother's Day.
Oh, I
today.
Didn't even know that.
That's why
we kind of
did it. Yeah.
So here's my thoughts. Yes. Today is Mother's Day, and I think we all see cardinal couples and robin couples coming and feeding their babies in those open cup nests. Mm. And they work very hard as pairs, but there's a lot of mothers or a lot of bird mothers that don't get any help from the lazy male. They come up and they breed with the male, and then the mother goes off and builds a nest like wild turkeys, like a lot of ducks. Woodcocks are another one where the female does all the work. And one of my favorite ones are the common mergansers. The common mergansers mate with the male, then the female finds usually a nest cavity, an old woodpecker cavity, and then she lays the eggs inside, kind of like what the wood ducks do. And she incubates, builds a nest by herself. She incubates the eggs by herself. And she flies down, and the chicks hatch. And then they hop down, and she leads them all by herself to the water and protects them from predators and broods them. But the fun part is that the chicks, and I think we've seen this a little bit on some magazines and things, that when the chicks get tired, then they climb up in her back. She's like the original minivan where the kids get up on the mother, and she swims around and takes the chicks. But the one bird that works the hardest, I think, is the ruby-throated hummingbird. Again, the female will mate with the male, and then she builds a nest. A lot of these birds, like ducks, they just kind of pull some feathers out and make a little impression. But she finds a nest. She has to build a nest from scratch. She puts lichen along the side to hide it, to give it some protection, some camouflage. She lays 2 eggs, and whereas duck chicks feed themselves, they swim around, and the mother really doesn't have to provide any food for them. Her chicks are like baby cardinals or baby chickadees. They're born naked and blind, and she has to go and find food for them. And it's really tiny insects, and she has to feed them until they grow and keep them warm at night and keep them protected. And she does this all by herself And that's after flying whatever many thousands of miles from the tropics. You have to do that and then pack up and head out again. So that's my Mother's Day salute to the single mothers who work even harder. Motherhood is hard, but single motherhood is even harder, and some birds do it all by themselves, so salute to them.
Wow. I can't remember for sure. Is it the eastern bluebird in which the male apparently tries to bring some twigs to the nest but usually drops them on the way?
Yeah, you know, some guys just aren't mechanical and handy. They try, but, you know, they're better off in the office.
Thank you, Mike.
Talk to you next week.
Mike O'Connor there at the famous Birdwatchers General Store on Cape Cod.
We're not in the office, but we're in the studio doing our mystery bird contest here. One more time, we'll go to our mystery bird. 781-837-4900 is the number. Beautiful prizes await. And Ada, this is a kind of a coincidence since we talked about bird-friendly gardens this morning. She is in the Garden State, New Jersey. Good morning, Ada.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Do you know the town of Haworth in New Jersey, by the way, any chance?
Yeah.
I remember going there because I had friends that used to live there, and I just remember all the beautiful gardens there. So it really fit the name of the Garden State. But we're on the mystery bird contest here, Ada. What do you think that bird is there?
I believe it's the brown creeper.
I believe it is, too. That makes two of us. Yes. Brown creeper. Yes, awesome indeed. I like this poetic description of the brown creeper that I found from early 20th century naturalist W.M. Tyler. He said, "The brown creeper, as he hitches along up a tree, looks like a fragment of detached bark that is defying the law of gravitation by moving upward over the trunk. And as he flies off to another tree, he resembles a little dry leaf blown about by the wind." That's a pretty good description, I think, of the brown creeper. Well, Ada, thank you so much.
Very poetic.
By the way, we have time for a mystery bird bonus question if you'd like to try it, because we have the beautiful feather.
Sure, I'd love to try.
We have the feather-friendly kit to protect birds so they don't crash into your windows. Well, here it is. Our Mike O'Connor is the owner of the famous Cape Cod Bird Watchers General Store. He's also the author of two best-selling books about birds. Which of these is the title of one of Mike O'Connor's books? Is it A, Why Do Vireos Avoid Me? B, Why Do Bluebirds Hate Me? C, Why Do Downies Look Down on Me? Or D, Why Do Customers Cuss Me? One of those has got to be the... Jesse is shaking his head on that one, as he usually does. Anyway, what do you think on that mystery bird?
I'll say B.
On that mystery bird, I mean the mystery bird bonus question. Why do bluebirds hate me? That, of course, is correct. Why do bluebirds hate me? That was his second bestseller, and its title reflects the fact that Mike just couldn't seem to get bluebirds to visit his backyard. Although, he tells us that one finally did show up. I think it was a couple of years ago, although it only stayed for a couple of minutes. Mike is also the author of the famous book, Why Don't Woodpeckers Get Headaches? Ada, stand by there. Jesse, when he finishes shaking his head, we'll get your info and send you those prizes.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Ada, who correctly got that bonus question there, Why Do Bluebirds Hate Me?, as well as the other one. And I just want to make sure this week we say the name of the bird again, the brown creeper. Was our mystery bird.
We had a caller who asked what last week's mystery bird was. Do you know that info?
We mentioned that there. But it's the blue grosbeak last week.
Very good.
Yeah, last week, the blue grosbeak. That's what it is. Okay. Next week, we'll have a special new prize. Listen live online so you can enter our mystery bird contest. Just go to talkingbirds.com to see how to do it. Thanks to our amazing Talking Birds team, Debbie Bleacher, Frey McGregor, and our producing engineer, the great Jesse Wilkins. I'm Ray Brown. See you next week.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. BirdwatchersGeneralStore.com.
And by Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty, their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at VortexOptics.com.
And by Broom, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at brome.com.